pray with us.
Dear Heavenly Father,
thank you for this time to come to church and hear your word preach. Just thank you for all the mothers in attendance and the ones that are going to be here as well, Lord. Thank you for this blessing of the whole church. And fill Pastor Jones with the Holy Spirit as he comes forth to preach the message you lay on his heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, amen. So we're in Genesis chapter number 2, and I just wanted to say again, Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there and mothers-to-be. This sermon is primarily geared towards moms, but there's something in here for everyone, okay? Even dads, teens, everybody can take something from this and apply it to their lives. And I'll show you that here, but let's start off at look at verse number 24. Genesis 2, look at verse number 24, it says this, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." We've spent a lot of time recently talking about this verse, but I want to look at it from a different angle today. I want you, especially you moms out there, okay, to realize that the influence that you have in the lives of your sons and your daughters, it doesn't just affect that child, okay? Because what does the verse say there? It says that someday that child will leave and cleave unto the other spouse, right? So you're actually affecting that other person, okay? And so this is what I want to focus on today. And the title of my sermon is How Mother's Role. How Mother's Role. And it's part one in a two-part series. We're going to do the fathers here on Father's Day next month. And so how mother's role, what do I mean by that? Well, it's just basically a play on words. You know, people say, well, this is how I roll. This is how I am. This is how I do business, okay? So this sermon is about how mothers should roll, i.e., the roles that you play in the lives of your sons and your daughters. Now, you can leave your place there in Genesis and turn to 1 Timothy chapter number 5. 1 Timothy chapter number 5. And just to kind of show you what this looks like as you're turning to 1 Timothy chapter 5, think about this. So all the sons that, daughters and kids that Jacob had, right, with his wives, Leah, with Rachel, you know, the concubines, right? You take, let's just say, for example, you take the 10 sons versus Joseph and even Benjamin, okay? There's a vast difference in their personalities, isn't there? But they had the same father. And I'm not undermining the role of a father, okay? I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is that those 10 sons that Leah and the concubines had, you know, they were difficult, weren't they? They were different. But what was it about Rachel's influence that made Joseph the man that he was, the great man of faith that he was, and all the stuff that he went through? How was he able to endure the prison? How was he able to not be bitter for the rest of his life? How was he able to overcome that and trust God? And I would submit to you that a large portion of that guy's faith is because of his mother, Rachel. Right? I mean, think about it. All these children had the same dad. Okay, and again, I'm not undermining the father, but the fact is dad is usually gone more often, right? We have to work, we're out in the, you know, in the workforce and doing things, but the mom should be home and usually is home with the children more often. Right? And so there's a very special bond, a very special connection there, and that's what we're gonna be focusing on this morning. Now, just if you're sitting here and you're like, okay, well, my kids are grown, or I don't have any children yet. I don't even have a spouse. That's okay. The sermon is still for you. And I want to show you something here. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 1. It says this, "Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren." Now look at verse 2. It says this, "The elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity." So even if you're an elder woman and you say, well, I never had children, that's fine. You still have a lifelong history of experience that you can pass on to the younger women that are inside of the church, okay? Now, you might be like, well, what about, you know, the younger women? You know what? You're still older than some of the younger girls in the church. And as you've learned things in your life, as you study the Bible, you can also help raising these children by passing on your knowledge to them as well. And so it's very, very important that we see that and understand that. Now turn to Proverbs chapter number 1. Proverbs chapter number 1. In fact, I was looking up the word mother throughout the Old Testament. And between 1st and 2nd Kings, it appears like 39 times, okay? You say, well, what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is not all those kings were very good kings, were they? And it's kind of interesting that it always gives their mother, right? Why is that? And it's because of the influence that the mother had. You know, it's like you take a look at some of the moms, they did impart wisdom unto the kings, but they decided to reject it. Whereas other kings, they decided, you know, I'm going to hold on to this later on in life and apply these things and be the king that God wants me to be. Now, Proverbs chapter 1, look at verse number 8. It says this, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and don't miss this, and forsake not the law of thy mother." Okay? Hold that thought and go to Proverbs chapter number 6. Proverbs chapter number 6. Now, anytime you see something in the Bible, it's important. I get that. But anytime you see something in the Bible more than once, it's very, very important. It's something that we need to hold on to and make sure that we are not missing this concept here. So Proverbs chapter 6, look at verse number 20. It says this, "My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother." Now, I know some of you might be sitting here saying, well, the law that my mom taught me didn't work out for me very well, and, you know, I was raised in the world. But I guarantee you there's something that your mother did. There's something that your mother taught you that was wise, right? I mean, think about it. You're sitting here this morning. You could be doing anything else, but you decided, you know what, I'm going to come to church. I'm going to learn the Bible. I'm going to be with the brethren, and I'm going to edify other people, okay? But he says, forsake not the law of thy mother. So this is assuming that the mom is studying the Bible, learning the commandments, and is willing to pass these things on to her children. You say, well, what is the law of thy mother? Well, we're going to learn here. Look at verse number 21. It says, bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. Notice that word there, continually, okay? So you kids, you need to make sure that you're listening to your mom. Because if your mom goes to this church, it's a good chance that she's trying to teach you the Bible. She's bringing you to church for a reason, for spiritual growth, so that you don't make these mistakes that you see other people make out in the world, so that you don't make the same mistakes that a lot of these people made in the Bible. Look, these stories are written for your admonition, so that you can grow, so that you can heal other people, so that you can be successful in life. He says, bind them continually upon thy heart and tie them about thy neck. Okay, there's a heart and mind connection that the Bible talks about here. And you better make sure that the word of God and the law of your mother resonates with you and that you're thinking about these things continually. Okay, that's what he's talking about here. Now look at verse number 22. It says, when thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. Right? So don't ever have this attitude, you kids. Well, you know, I'm just here going through the motions. Because if that's your attitude, you have already failed and you will continue to fail as a Christian. You will continue to fail in life. It's just the way that it is. The Bible gives us the reason on why we need to be aware of these things, why we need to have these things continuously before our eyes. It said, when thou goest, it shall lead thee. See, because you're going to go from your mom and your dad someday. You're going to go out into the world. And your success or your failure depends on how you receive the law of your mother. So it says, when thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. You know, a lot of people like to email the church and threaten us and, you know, try to change our address and take our mail and do all kinds of stupid stuff like that to us because people hate God,
yeah.
Right? What is it about this church? What is it about being a Bible-believing Christian that helps us to sleep well at night despite the threats, despite the adversary, despite all the drama and all the problems that people try to heap on us? Well, it's the law of God. That's what it is. And you know what? You mothers that are out there, you have a vital role in making sure that this stays into your children. You say, my kids are having trouble sleeping. Well, you know what? The Bible has the cure for that. And it comes from meditating on the Word of God. That's what the Bible is saying. You want to get good sleep? Think and meditate on the Word of God because it's going to provide you comfort no matter what the devil throws at you. Look at the rest of the verse. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. Look, the most important conversation that anybody has at any given time on any given day is the conversation that we have with ourselves, right? Because Christians, we're kind of bipolar, aren't we? We have the old man and we have the new man, right? The old man says, hey, hit that snooze button. You don't need to go to church. There's 3 services a week. Who cares? You know, you can catch one of them, right? But is that really the wise thing to do? No. Look what it says. Again, read that last part there. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. Look, every day that we get up, something talks with us, right? It's either the old guy or it's the new guy. And you got to make the decision whether or not you're going to listen to the new man. Why? So that you can be successful. Why? So that you can sleep well. Why? So that you can help people out. You see, we have to realize, you know, someday we're going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. You know where we get the ability to rule and to reign with Jesus Christ? It's now. See, a lot of people think, well, I'm just going to coast, right? And whatever happens, happens. I don't have to really focus too much and go hard on reading the Bible and learning the Bible, you know, because when I get to eternity, I'm just going to automatically know everything. I don't believe that's true. I don't believe that's true. I believe that the success that you're going to have as a ruler in the millennium, the amount of responsibility that God's going to give you, comes from how much you know now, how much you study now. And guess what, you mothers? You're not only just training up children to go out into the physical world, but you're training up children that will one day rule and reign with Jesus Christ. And that is a tremendous responsibility. And you are the key that basically holds all of that together. Right? Obviously, dads, yeah, our job is important too. But mothers, you can literally make or break a child. You are responsible for their success. So make sure that you have it on your heart that you're going to learn the law of God and that you're going to pass on that wisdom to your children. But not only to your children, but to all the children, right? Because like I said, you have experience. You have life stories. You have things that can help people out because all of us go through different trials, through different tribulations, and we have that experience, and that is invaluable to each other. This is why it's so important to go to church. Look, out soul winning lately, I can't tell you how many times we've had people say, I don't need to go to church, right? We had some clown walk up to us on Thursday, right? And he just started mocking church, basically saying, you know why there's over 40,000 denominations? It's because everybody's wrong, right? Everybody's wrong except for him. We don't need church, really, because that's not what the Bible says. Oh, don't even worry about that because this guy doesn't even believe the Bible. You know what he told us? He said, you know what? There's only four books that you need, and they can all be condensed down into the red letters. And the bulk of those red letters are what you just need to worry about. You don't need to worry about what Paul said to the Corinthians. You don't need to worry what Paul said to the Ephesians. You don't need to worry about what Paul said to the Colossians. That is literally what this man told us. He said, I believe that the Bible is a book of fairy tales. He said, in that Old Testament, you don't need any of that. He's like, there might be a couple applicable things in there, but not really. Talk about somebody who forsook the law of his mother. Because I'm sure that his mom would be ashamed, whether she's saved or whether she's lost. I'm sure that she would be ashamed that such hypocritical, nonsensical words would come out of her son's mouth. There is no way that you could read this Bible from front to back and come to that conclusion. There's no way. In fact, I don't even really know of a church that's that open about that kind of a belief. I mean, I'm sure there's some that are pretty close. But, you know, I mean, isn't that crazy? Just the red letters and just the bulk of what it says, right? And then he tells us, you know what? Basically, he's just telling us that we're judgmental because we're going door to door and just trying to find people that want to hear the truth. But wait a minute. We're judgmental when you just rendered a judgment that what we're doing is wrong. It's ridiculous. Talk about somebody who forsook the law of his mother. Don't you see the blindness in that? But you know what? That's the kind of attitude. Look, that attitude came to us. We didn't even go seek that out. Right. He came to us with that. Let that never be once named among people in this church. And you kids, you better listen to your mothers. Go to Proverbs chapter number 31. Proverbs chapter 31. And so the next verse in Proverbs 6 there, it says, for the commandment is a lamp, the law is a light, and reproofs of instruction are a way of life. You moms need to make sure that correcting your children, right, telling them no when it's appropriate, telling them what the truth is, that is the way of your household. Because the Bible tells us that correction, that reproofs are the way of life. And there's not a mother in here, there's not a person in here that doesn't want to see these children grow up and succeed in life. But the way that you're going to do that is by understanding this concept here, that correction and reproofs are the way of life. Look, I get it's hard. It's hard to tell them no, especially with the chubby cheeks and stuff. It's like, oh, you know. But you know what? We have to do that. I get it. I get it. I understand. But if we don't do that, then you know what? The world's not going to do that. The world's not going to tell them the wrong. Say, hey, do whatever makes you feel comfortable. Do whatever makes you feel good. And then the next thing you know, you run in a bunch of people that are like out here at Overland and Cole at that Taco Bell over there, that anytime you go through the window, they're just like, oh, another order. One taco. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. People are lazy today. extremely lazy. And don't even get me started on that. So again, the law of thy mother mentioned twice there. We've got that in Proverbs chapter 1. We got that in Proverbs chapter 6. Why? Why is it stated twice? And I'll tell you why. It's because all the book of Proverbs can be summed up basically in these two words. And this is the bottom line for the sermon. Mother's role by providing proactive and preventative instruction to their children. Let me say that again. Mother's role by providing proactive and preventative instruction to their children. We need to have this attitude that, you know what, we're going to teach our kids these lessons. We're going to make sure that they grow up to be proactive. What does that mean? We want to raise a group of people that are willing to take initiative, right? Which is something that's lacking today in society. Because in order to take initiative, you have to take risks. In order to take initiative, you have to put yourself out there. And it's not comfortable, right? In the world today, they're trying to make everybody so comfortable that they get complacent and that they get gone. The world's philosophy is this: dilution is the solution. If I can just dilute their minds with just all this information, all of this stuff, then you know what? That's the solution. It's going to make them weak. It's going to water them down. And that's why there's so many Bible versions. That's why there's 40,000 denominations. It's not because truth doesn't exist. It's because the devil's working overtime to make sure that when he installs his man in his office, that he takes as many people to hell with him as humanly possible. But you know what's going to be people like that are in this room that say, I love the Bible. I love the Word of God. I want to see what it says. I'm going to read it for myself. I'm not just going to hear it, but I'm going to check these things out for myself. And we're going to make sure that we stick with the family unit as much as possible that God has given us. And you know what, mothers? You are pivotal. You are instrumental beyond your wildest dreams in fulfilling that role. You have to understand, you have to instill proactivity into these children. And of course, you want to make sure that they understand preventative wisdom, right? That they don't go out and do all this crazy stuff that a lot of us did when we were younger, right? My parents, they left me to my own devices. I can remember when I was a kid, you know, second grade, I could just get up whatever time I wanted to on the weekends and go out to the woods and not come back until it was dark. I don't even let my kids, now that they're teenagers, out of my sight very often. And I'm thinking back to my mom and dad, like, what were you thinking? You're crazy. You're absolutely insane. But that's how it was, and I'm sure some of you have the same story. And you know what? I got myself into a whole lot of trouble. You know, I'm thinking, you know, Kinley's 14 now. You know, Colin's about to be 16. Caden's going to be 18 next year. You know, by the time I was Kinley's age, I had already been to juvenile hall. I had already been to court for throwing rocks at cars. Because, you know, sometimes you can only build so many forts and play so many games of cops and robbers before you just want to up the ante. Oh, look at them cars down there. Bam. Oh, this is fun. You know, I can outrun adults. I can hide from them, right? This is like real war now. You know what I mean? You know what my parents did? They made excuses for why I did stuff like that. It was their fault. No, it was my fault. Because I was an idiot, okay? Anyways, I don't know why I'm talking about any of that stuff, right? Proverbs chapter 31. So again, continuing on with this idea, forsake not the law of thy mother, which can be summed up into two words, proactivity and preventative instruction, preventative wisdom. Here in the Bible leaves us at the last chapter of Proverbs with an example of this. And so we're going to go through the first 9 verses, and I got 3 points for you this morning. So Proverbs 31, look at verse number 1. It says this: the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. So what are we doing right now? We're about to read the law of a mother to a king. Look at verse number 2. It says, what? Now notice this next word, my son. And what? The son of my womb. And what? The son of my vows. You see that word there, my? That's very important. That's more important than you may realize. And you're probably thinking, like, man, what in the world are you talking about? Well, notice what she doesn't say, right? Oh, my son, I can't wait till the public school opens up so you can get out of my hair. Right? Oh, my son, I just can't wait until you just leave the house. Right? Point number 1 is this: good mother's role by cherishing the fact that their children are theirs. Good mother's role by cherishing the fact that their children are theirs. And I get it. You know, you might be thinking, oh, what's the big deal? I obviously understand that. I bore these kids, whatever. No, you have no idea then what it's like out there in the world today. Every house that I go to, just about, you know what I hear? These kids have been home for a year now because the public schools are on and off again, and they're driving me absolutely nuts. And they're like, what school do your kids go to? Are they on Zoom still? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, kids are homeschooled. They don't even like realize what's going on. You know, I mean, they're just like, what is everybody complaining about? Your kids are homeschooled? Yeah. Since day one. And you know what they always say? I could never do that. How does your wife do that? I could never do that. That's interesting. And then the kicker is always this, and this is what makes me cringe. I'm a teacher. What? So you're the one doing the Zoom call? Oh, what? You could take care of 30, 40 kids Monday through Friday for 8 hours a day? But yet you view your own children as a burden? And the answer is yes. That is the major attitude of today, that these kids are a bother. Why do you think birth control gets pushed so hard? Right? Because the world wants you to think, you know what, these kids are just going to slow you down. They're going to hinder you moms from fulfilling your dreams and becoming a CEO of a large corporation. You're not going to be able to be G.I. Jane if you've got six kids. Right? It's just not going to happen. Think about your future. Think about you. That's the world's attitude. But the Bible's attitude is something different, because we're reading this last chapter here in the Bible. And what does it say? It says that this woman's a virtuous woman because she fears the Lord. So good mothers role by cherishing the fact that their children are theirs. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter number 4. Deuteronomy chapter number 4. So looking up some homeschooling statistics here, and I found some interesting information. So I got this article here, and it says there were an estimated 4.5 to 5 million homeschooled students, grades K through 12, in the United States during March of 2021. Sounds kind of like a lot, right? Then it goes on to say this. There were about 2.5 million homeschool students in spring of 2019, or 3% to 4% of school-aged children. And it says the homeschool population had been growing at an estimated 2% to 8% per year over the past several years, but it grew drastically from 2020 to 2021. And a small portion of that is because people are realizing, wait a second here, you know, this communist ideology that the public schools are teaching, it needs to stop, right? And so some people are kind of waking up and they're saying, you know what, I'm just going to homeschool. Other people are finding it just easier to have their kids at home because they're saving a ton of money on daycare and their kids are behaving better. Some are, right? Not the majority at all. But 4.5 to 5 million homeschool students, that's 8 to 9% of all the kids throughout this entire country. That's nothing. That's nothing, right? So that means over 90% of women, 90% of families, 90% of mothers are like, you know what? I'm just going to send these kids to school. And look, I went to public school and I'm here, but it's only by the grace of God. It's only because someone else's mother dragged me to church and I got saved. That's the only reason. And you know what? Some mothers don't have the option, right? Because of choices that they've made in the past. And I'm not knocking you. I'm not trying to blast you. It is what it is. You know, there's a solution for that. In fact, that's a whole nother sermon. But the attitude of the world today is the public school is my relief, right? That's what these people are thinking today. That's what these mothers are. And their kids are going crazy, doing whatever they want to. They become teenagers. They're making all kinds of crazy decisions. And the mom's like, where did I go wrong? What's going on? And they start to blame the public school. But you know what? God looks down and says, no, I'm blaming you because those are your kids. I gave those to you. That's your heritage. That's your blessing. We're supposed to view these children as a blessing from God, not a burden that the government needs to be responsible for. That is disgusting. That is weak. That's pathetic. So the majority of women, including women that call themselves Christians, say they view their children as a burden. This is wrong. This is not the way it's supposed to be. And you know what? Mothers, fathers, I believe all Christians, you need to read Proverbs every single day. Pick one. Just pick one proverb. You know, if you can't read a whole chapter, that's fine. Pick one. Read it and meditate on it. And then tell me how your life is 90 days from now. I promise you it will be much different. So Deuteronomy chapter number 4, look at verse number 40. It says this. So the context here of this verse we're about to read, it applies to the whole nation of Israel, right? It says this. Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, verse 40, that it go well with thee and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. So again, what is another benefit that we get from preaching the Word of God, from teaching the truth? What's the benefit that you mothers get? You get to prolong the days of not only your life, but the life of your children. Because guess what, Mom? When your kid gets married, you're not going to just stop worrying about them. You're not going to just stop thinking about them. The time is now. You need to install that proactive attitude and that preventative wisdom into their hearts now so that you don't spend a lifetime worrying about them after they leave the house when you only get that phone call from them once in a while. Better wake up. It starts now. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter number 6. So there's some popular stories in my family that my dad used to tell, uncles used to tell me. And so my great-grandfather was notorious because he went to my grandfather's school and threw the principal down two flights of stairs. And the reason why he did that is because one of the teachers had sent my grandfather home with a note basically saying, hey, your child's been acting up, he's a problem. And he got so offended by that because his idea was, well, when they're in school, they're your problem. I don't want to hear about that. That was his attitude, my great-grandfather. Now, my grandfather, you know what he did? He did the same exact thing in front of my dad. You know the guy you see wandering around here asking everybody to free him from the country, take him back to Mexico or whatever? That guy watched his father throw his principal down the stairs too. You know what my dad did? He didn't do the same thing. Not that I know of anyways. But and the reason why I think he never went down that road, and not because I was good, because I wasn't, is just because the laws have changed. You know, you could fight back in the day and not really get in trouble. Now you get sued and they take your whole life. But I come from a line of men that viewed their children as a burden. Right? My grandmother, on my dad's side, that was her attitude. You know, and it's kind of funny that these people all grew up in San Francisco, too. You know? I just like to throw that out there because they were working before it was popular. They were doing all the crazy things that you hear about today before it was, you know, even a thing. You know, and they viewed their children as a burden. They viewed the public school, well, you need to raise these kids. We're giving them to you. We're trusting you. And my grandfather actually ran for mayor of San Francisco on the Democratic ticket. And he said the reason why he picked the Democratic ticket is because it was the closest thing to communism that he could find back in that day. He was a hardcore communist. Hardcore. You know, so I'm not talking to you today. I'm making this stuff up. I'm telling you this because I come from a line of people with that ideology that your children are just there, you know, from, 4 o'clock till 8 when you put them to bed and then shuck them off to school. And on the weekends, you just let them go out in the woods and do whatever. Right? And like I said, it's only by the mercy of God that I am here today, even preaching the Bible. Look at Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Look at verse number 6. It says this, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And that comes up over and over and over again. And the reason why I want this point to be first, the reason why I want this to sink down, this idea here that your children are yours, moms, you need to love that fact. You need to embrace that. Because when you embrace that, it's going to make the rest of the points easier. It's going to make the desire that you hopefully have to install that proactive, that initiative, and all that preventative wisdom in your children, it's going to make you want to do that. When you just realize, you know what, these are mine, right? I'm not going to be the type of mom that says, you know what, it's Uncle Sam's job to raise these kids. No, it's your job. You need to do that. And you need to love doing that. And he says, all these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Diligently. That means you need to constantly believe in these words, first of all, but be teaching these to your children. You say, but they're young. That's okay. You can have these kids are super smart, right? You guys remember what happened when we kicked the first person out of church because he was, you know, causing all the trouble? The little kids, right? The chicken nugget brothers were like, you're going to get joshed, right? They knew fully what was going on.
Yeah.
They pay attention. He's a bad guy, right? They know. They know. And the reason why they're going to continue to know is because of you mothers. When dad's off to work, you're binding these words in your own heart first, and you're teaching them. You teach them diligently, meaning you explain it to them. You show them the sense of urgency that needs to be showed to these kids. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. This is why we're such big advocates for homeschooling, is because it gives you a chance to sow the Bible into every subject. People think they're going to be saved because of their high-level math class that they took. Right? And I'm not knocking that. Great. But guess what? At the end of the day, knowledge puffeth up. We need these moms to start teaching wisdom, knowledge applied. Right? And the way we're going to do that is to make the Bible the center of our home. And a good way to do that, if you can, is to homeschool your children. So it says this in verse 8, "And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes." Go back to Proverbs chapter 31. And so with that there, it's metaphorically speaking, that the way you conduct yourself with your hands, with your body, right, is going to be according to the word of God, which is a lamp, which is a light unto your path, right? And it says, "And they shall be as frontlets between the eyes." That means the word of God is going to be in your brain, right, between the eyes. That is what that's talking about there. So again, point number one is that mother's role, by cherishing the fact that their children are theirs. If you can get this, if you can learn this, if you can understand this, you know what? You're not going to have an issue installing wisdom into your children, because you're going to love the fact that your children are with you. I mean, think about other countries that snatch kids all the time, right? I think it wasn't too long ago that even in Germany, they were locking parents up for even attempting to homeschool their children. Things might be a little bit different now because of the whole virus thing or whatever, but you get what I'm talking about. Think about moms across this world that don't have the opportunity. Look, in Idaho, it's easy. It's super easy. If you've got the will, and that's what this sermon is designed for, to give you that will, to give you that hope, to give you that heart to just love your children and to understand they're yours. They're a gift from God. They don't have to be a burden. Look, you're the boss. You're in charge. You raise those kids. You instill the fear of God into them. And you know what? It's going to be well with you the rest of your life. Then you're not going to have sleepless nights into your later years of life. Because when that happens, all you get are health problems, sorrows, and woes. And that's not what anybody wants. We get enough of that from the world. So let's move on here. Look at verse number 3. Proverbs 31, look at verse number 3. It says this, "Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings." Moms, you need to realize this. Again, I'm going to say this again, that you are raising a royal priesthood. The Bible says that you are a king. If you're saved, you are a king and you are a priest. That's royalty. God looks at royalty, and he has entrusted you with those children. And that is a tremendous responsibility. See, the world, they don't look at their kids that way. They look at them as a burden. Right, but this virtuous woman here, this Holy Spirit-filled woman here, she says this, "Hey, Lemuel, give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings." What's interesting about that when I read this here is that it comes from a woman. A woman telling her male child, "Hey, don't give your strength unto women." Meaning she understands what that does. She understands that when you give your God-given role as a man, when you give away your God-given role as a wife, and you fall prey to this gender blurring reversal garbage that the government's trying to cram down our throats, she realizes that strength leaves that family when that happens. So when the man's like, "Oh, I got to ask the boss. He's given his strength away, because your strength is leadership, men. That's your strength. And you know what, women? You have leadership too. You're a boss as well. But God has designed us differently to work perfectly as one flesh together. Everybody understand that? Point number 2 is this. Christian mothers should role by teaching their kids the dangers of social pressures. Christian mothers role by teaching their children the dangers of social pressures. That is what this woman is doing to her king. And you say, okay, well, I get it. The politicians of our day, they're surrounded with all kinds of temptations and, you know, lobbyists and people always throwing drugs and money and women and hookers and stuff, you know, at these people. And my kids, they're not having that temptation. No, there's other temptations that these children are being pressured with. The world will always go after the true royal priesthood, which is a fundamentalist, a Bible-believing Christian. That is what the world is attacking. Every law that's being passed out there today, every law on the books that's being considered today, is geared to take away your right of free speech, to preach the word of God. That's what it is. You say, I don't believe that. Well, then you obviously don't go soul winning. Because the attitude of probably 9 out of 10 people right now is, you shouldn't be here. What are you doing in my apartment building with a Bible? It wasn't like that 50 years ago. It wasn't like that. You see, the world's trying to pass on this ideology. Hey, the children of God, they're the burden, right? They're the problem. And you know what? They've got no issues at all condoning that attitude. So Christian mothers role by teaching their kids the dangers of social pressures. And what this woman is doing here in this chapter, she's saying, hey, Lemuel, you need to realize that God made you a man. And with that comes a tremendous amount of responsibility. And guess what? It's the mom that's helping foster that role. And of course she would do that for her daughters as well. But she would do it differently. She would probably tell her daughters, hey, don't be the type of woman that's going to go out there and try to take the strength of her husband and take that from him and cut him down and batter him and bash him and humiliate him and not respect him. That's what she would tell her daughters. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. See, the feminist ideology today that says, hey, if mom stays home with the kids, dad goes to work, that's like sexist. That's misogynistic. That's not okay. How do you make it if your wife doesn't work? God. That's how we make it. Look, the Bible's full of wisdom on how to make it. Full of wisdom on how to be proactive. Not to just sit by and just let things happen. And you're going to see that's exactly what this virtuous mother is doing to her children. I worked with this guy one time. And no joke, this is what he said to me. He's like, I really need to get a haircut. I'm like, all right, well, go get one then. And he goes, you know what? He goes, I went to the barber shop over here, you know, where we're working in Bremerton, Washington. And he's like, I went in there and there was only the female barbers working. And he's like, the Bible says that's how a man loses his strength. I was like, for going to a female barber? He's like, yeah, the Bible says you never let a woman cut your hair. Otherwise, your strength will go from you just like Samson. I started laughing because I thought that was just like a silly joke. No, that's really what he believed. That's literally what he believed. It's like, no. And guess what? This same guy later on is on the phone with his wife. Like, oh, I got the boss is calling me. I got to take a break. Backwards, man. It's absolutely backwards. So Christian mothers role by teaching their kids the dangers of social pressures. Now, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, look at verse number 1. It says, to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under heaven. Now go back to Proverbs 31. So the Bible says there is, for everything there's a season, and to every time, and a time to every purpose under heaven, right? So everything that we observe, everything that we go through, everything that goes on in this world, everything that your children have questions about, there's a purpose for that. Right? And that's exactly what this virtuous mother is about to show us. She's going to show us, hey, I know you've got some questions about women. You've got some questions about alcohol. And I'm going to show you what the purpose of those things are. Okay? This will make sense here in a second. Look at verse number 4. So right off the heels of verse number 3, she just goes right into this. She says, it is not for kings, O Lemuel. Because remember, what is she trying to do here? She's trying to teach this young man how to not lose his strength. And again, she would teach the same thing to her daughter. Okay? It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. Right? And a lot of times kids have this question here. Well, What's the reason? Why is there alcohol? Why are there drugs? Why are these things out in the world today? Right? We need to have the answers and explain the purpose of these things. And that's what she does here. Look at verse 6. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Right? She doesn't hide this subject from him. She doesn't try to smolder him. Right? We ought to shelter our children, but not smolder them. Right? Pretend like these problems don't exist. And what she does is she says, hey, I'm going to impart into you some wisdom. I'm going to tell you, there is a purpose for these things, but it's not for you. It's not for kings. It's not for princes. It's not good. It will wind up destroying your life. You say, well, I know people have drank socially for years and never had any problems. Yeah, they're the exception. That's what they are, the other exception. There are people that can handle it moderately. I'm not going to lie to you. There are people out there like that. But most people cannot. Because what happens is you lower your standards like that. And what does the enemy do? He comes and starts whispering in your ears. Right? That's what he does. And then the next thing you know, you're going to lower this other standard, and this other standard, and this other standard. And the next thing you know, you're out of church, backslidden. You've lost your strength. You're no longer acting and functioning like a royal priesthood. And that's exactly what we don't want here. And that's exactly why we want to encourage mothers. Hey, teach your children the hard things of life when the age is appropriate. Because they need to understand. They need to know the why. They need to know the purpose for things under heaven. Well, what's the purpose of cocaine? It's a tool of the devil is what it is. That's the purpose of it. Right? Don't lie to these kids and say, oh, yeah, that's only in Oregon. It's just in Oregon. Don't worry about it. No, it's here too. Go knock a few doors. Starting to smell like Sacramento around here. Okay. Starting to smell a little bit like Portland in some of these apartment complexes. Let them know. Man, soul winning is like the best way to show kids. People, aren't you afraid your kids are going to be, they're going to grow up and they're going to be all sheltered and not be social? No. They see what the derelicts are like. Hey, they see what the bullies are like. They see what these people are like when they literally flip their lids and want to fight us out in the community. Just for simply inviting someone to church. Right. It's not always like that, guys. So if you're scared of going somewhere, don't be like, it's just once in a while, okay? Once in a while. But she tells him, hey, yeah, alcohol's a thing. And you know what the purpose is? It's for people like verses number six and seven. People that are about ready to die. Let them have it. And think about this, too. They didn't have pain meds back then. But did they have pain? Yeah. They did. And that's a lot of reasons why they used strong drink and wine back then. They did use it medicinally. They did use it to calm people down. You know, you get your leg cut off in battle, or you get a deep gash or something like that, you're in extreme pain, it gets infected. You know, they would use this stuff for that. And she's saying, hey, that's the purpose for this. And she doesn't lie to him. She says, there is a purpose for it. And here's what it is. And that's the application. That's what we need to realize. We don't want to constantly exist in a suppressed or a concealed state, which is the definition of smoldering, right? Let's shelter them, but let's be honest with them, and let's make sure that we tell them the truth, okay? Back to Proverbs 31, or you're probably already there. Look at verse number 8. Verse number 8 is this. We're going to move on here to the third and final point. Verse number 8. So she changes gears again. It says, open thy mouth for the dumb, and the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Now, the word dumb there is not saying, hey, open your mouth for all these idiots, okay, for like how we use the word, right? It's for people who can't speak for themselves. Open thy mouth for the dumb and the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction, right? People that are appointed for destruction, people that cannot defend themselves. She's saying, hey, open your mouth for these people here. Look at verse 9. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Okay, say, okay, great. What's the lesson here? What's the point? And it's this. Mothers rule by instilling courage into their children because courage produces productivity. I'm serious today. Look, most people that I come into contact today in the world, they are not courageous at all. They're not proactive at all. You know what? A lot of God's people aren't very proactive either. Just to be honest with you, I'm not trying to be mean, but it's true. And it's because we lack in the courage department. I believe everybody in here needs to do something uncomfortable every single day. If it's uncomfortable for you to come to church, you need to come to church. If it's uncomfortable for you to read Genesis 19, Judges 19, you need to read those chapters. Right? Next month's June. Right? Pride month. We're going to bash pride because pride leads to destruction, the Bible says. If it makes you uncomfortable to talk to people, go soul winning. Be a silent partner. Do something that makes you uncomfortable because that is going to breed courage. That is going to force you to be proactive, to take initiative. Look, there's always something that needs to be done. And we don't want to raise, look, moms, you don't want to raise children that are just standing there like this, watching the world go by, watching the things go by. No, you need to teach these kids to grab life by its handles and say, you know what? I'm a king. I'm a priest. I'm going to make sure that I'm in charge. I'm going to take this initiative. I'm going to go out and get people safe. Hey, I'm going to tell the government they're wrong. I'm going to tell the government, you know, you're not going to tell us we can't meet here. You're not going to tell us how to run church. That's not going to happen. What we just went through, that's just a test. The Bible says there's coming a day where they're going to shut all church down. They're not even going to use a virus as an excuse. They're going to say, we don't want your bigoted philosophies going out into the world because it's destructive. Then what? Then we're going to find out who's got courage. Then we're going to find out the moms that taught their children the law of God. Then we're going to see who forsakes the law of thy mother. God's going to draw a line in the sand here real soon. And we're going to see who's strong. We're going to see who's weak. You come to church one day and there's 50 protesters outside. I want to see who's strong. I want to see who's got the courage to keep coming, to keep standing up for the truths that are in this book here. So mothers role by instilling courage into their children because courage produces productivity. Because you know what? Taking initiative, you know what else that, you know what that means? That means there's a chance you're going to fail. And that's what everybody's afraid of today is failure. So a lot of people just want to take this route. Well, I'm just going to play it safe, and I'm never going to put myself out there. I'm never going to actually try to grow just in case I fall. No, you have to fall. In fact, I do this to my kids sometimes. I'll put them in situations. I'll ask them questions. I'll put them on the spot. And when they fall, I'm like, that's good. You kids, you need to fall. That's what your mom taught you. But you know what? You need to teach them how to get back up. Because when you don't do that, you're raising a bunch of pansies is what you're doing. And this world's got plenty of those types of people. To the point to where you can't even go to Lowe's hardly and ask somebody for help to get a barbecue. It's like, oh man, just wait right here. Just look around the whole store. I'll be back in like an hour. That's the way things are going, man. You know why a lot of these businesses are going out? It's not just because they were shut down. It's because people are too lazy to get their butts back to work. It's because we got too many people forsaking the law of their mothers. That's why. And because Uncle Sam wants to be your mama. Someone's going to be your mom. A lot of these governors, you know, in this country, they got no problems. You sitting at home sniffing coke, going out at night and burning buildings down. And collecting a paycheck. There's always somebody out there that wants to be your mom. And the reason why is because they know they can control you. But not this church. It's not the way that God wants us to be. Turn to Proverbs chapter number 22. Proverbs chapter number 22. So mothers role by instilling courage into their children because courage produces productivity. What are we talking about today? Talking about this idea here that mothers, you should have this idea here. You should have this precept in your heart that, you know what, I'm a mother that rolls by instilling proactive and preventative instruction into my children. And hey, don't even stop there. Do it to all the kids. You know, if my kids are acting up, instill something in them. I'm trying to get Bradley's mom to spank my kids on Wednesdays. And Marissa, you guys can always spank them, man. It's no problem, especially Caden. Trying to get Bradley to spank him for months. He's like, oh, he's doing all right. This one. That one in the back there especially. She's quiet. Look, you guys know about quiet people. Like, Kylan is quiet. No, I'm just kidding. She's like, I'm about to come up there. So mothers rule by instilling courage into their children because courage produces productivity. Proverbs 22, look at verse number 3. It says this, a prudent man. Now remember, a prudent person is somebody who looks well to their going, okay? That's what a prudent person is, a wise person. It says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Well, how does a prudent man develop the discernment to foresee evil. Well, hopefully because he learned from his mother the purpose and the reason for the things that are under the sun. Hopefully your parents, hopefully moms, you realize that someday your man, your daughter is going to have to be a prudent person and look and foresee evil and hide themselves from that evil. Because all too often, the simple, the unwise, they can't see evil. They can't see what's coming. And what happens? They just pass on. Oh, it's no big deal. Nothing to see here. And then they get destroyed. Hey, there's a fire in the building. No, this concert's great. I'm not leaving. Hey, there's a guy over here with a machine gun shooting down. I don't care. I got my beer. I'll just flip him off and that'll be good. And then they get shot through. See, a prudent mom is going to say, you shouldn't even be in that place to begin with because it's filth. It's garbage. It's destructive. Right? Install that preventative, that proactivity in them now so that when they're older, they can have the courage to take a stand against their coworkers, against their neighbors, against the people that want to pull them back into the world. It takes courage to say, you know what? I'm not going to go to that rock and roll concert, to that rap concert with my family. I don't care if we've done it for 20 years. It's not wise. I mean, think about all the shootings that go on at these public schools, you know? I hate it. It's a terrible thing. Think about the shootings that go on, like, in these movie theaters and in these clubs, these bars. You know why a lot of times God's people aren't dead because of that? Because they had the wisdom to begin with. You know what? There's evil that goes on there, and I don't want to be associated with it. And I'm just going to go ahead and hide myself from that. No, leave that to the world. And you wind up saving your life. And moms, it starts with you. You're the ones home with them all day. You're the one that gave birth to them. You have a special connection with them. And they will listen to you. You know, the Bible says that when they're older, they won't forsake what you've taught them. If you do it the right way now. If you realize, you know what, they're my children. I own them. God gave them to me. I have this great, tremendous responsibility to raise up royal seed because the influence that you have is not just for this life. It passes on into eternity as well. But so many people today, they don't get that. They don't think about that. They're not taught that. They're taught to live for the here and the now. They don't think about eternal things. It's not important to them. But you know what? You can't avoid it. Like Pilate said, what is truth? Well, 2 + 2 = 4, and death is imminent. Nobody can argue that. Even the most raunchy atheists that we run into out soul winning that ask us, well, how do you know you're right? How do you know truth exists? Well, are you going to die one day? Yep. There you go. You just proved the fact that truth exists. And the truth is, if you're saved, you're born again, you're a royal seed. And you will one day be expected to know the law of God. Because the Bible says that Jesus is going to rule and reign with a rod of iron. And how are you going to partake in that if you don't know what the rule is? If you don't know what the law is? And God has said in his word, hey, moms, you have a law. It's my law. And you need to teach that to your children. And you kids, don't forsake the law of thy mother. I'm going to wrap this thing up here. I'm just going to leave you with the bottom line, which says mother's role by providing proactive and preventative instruction into their children. Think about this. Think about the way things are going today in this country, but not in this country, in this world. Think about the direction, the course of the world that's going on out there and all the filth and the Satanism that's being pushed today. And moms, you need to realize you've got the truth. You've got a Bible. You've got access to God's word. You have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You have the ability to raise up a seed with courage, that's going to say, not only am I going to hide myself from the traps and the snares of the devil, but I'm actually going to take a stand against it because that's what we need. And realize that those kids, these children, all of us will pass on into eternity with the knowledge that we gained today. And moms, you have that tremendous responsibility. And so don't forget to get your gift here after the final song. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Thank you so much, Lord, for the wisdom in your word, Lord. I just want to pray for all the mothers in our church, Lord, that you would give them the desire to continuously and always understand that their children are theirs, and to have a heart to teach them, to be proactive, to take initiative, and to have preventative wisdom, Lord, to keep ourselves from the snares of the world, that we might reach souls for you and get more people saved and discipled, and to grow your church, as you said, Lord, that the gates of hell would not prevail against your church. And we believe that, and we understand that, and we thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.